These four brothers have just taken up the Lord's name to make promises, and we want to look at the meaning of the third commandment and how that relates to making vows and to all our speaking and living. Lord's Day 36 in the Heidelberg Catechism on page 890. A summary of what the Bible teaches about the meaning and application of the third commandment, which is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain. Lord's Day 36. What is God's will for us in the third commandment? That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In summary, we must use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess him, call upon him, and praise him in everything we do and say. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent and forbid it? Yes, indeed. No sin is greater or provokes God's wrath more than blaspheming his name. That is why he commanded it to be punished with death. Then let's turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 10. And we'll read verses 12 through 22. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 22. And in these pew Bibles, that is page 182. Page 182. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. He loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. And by his name you shall swear. By his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt 70 persons. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. This is God's word, and may he bless it to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God's will for your life is you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain. God takes his name very seriously. And he calls us to as well. We take our names seriously. We spend a lot of time choosing the first name of the child. And then we start working on the middle name, or sometimes the other way around. And then we start saying the names together to make sure that nothing silly can be made out of them. And we look for good names based on heritage and how they sound and what their meaning is. We choose them carefully. We take our names seriously. We want them spelled correctly. Is it De Boer or De Boer? And is it capital D or small? Now, this clan doesn't care too much about it, but these are quite, is it Van Oostveen or Van Oostveen? And should there be a split between Van and O? And then I know a Keziah, a Keziah, and a Keziah. And I fret over saying the right name to the right person because names matter. They're more than a string of letters. Your name is who you are. And we don't like it when somebody takes our name in vain and treats your name like dirt, insults you, tramples you, abuses you, forgets your name. I just hate it when there's a list of names and I forget somebody's. Like, what did you just do to that person? Oh, it's just a name. There's a person with that name, right? Well, how much more seriously God takes his name? Because there's somebody tied to his name. The great God, the most important being in the universe, who's infinitely holy. The whole universe hangs from the name of this God. Life and death are in his name. Oh, so in this commandment, God is telling us my name is a big deal. It's a matter of life and death, and that's why I want you to take my name seriously. Lord, we lift your name on high. That's our calling here in this commandment. We're called to receive his name, to use his name, and to praise his name. To receive it, use it, praise it, praise his name. He calls us to receive his name. Brothers and sisters, there is wrapped up in the first commandment an amazing gift. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And wrapped up in that commandment, God is saying, here's my name. It's for you. It's for you. I give my name to you. Receive it in faith. We've already taken his name several times today in our worship service. We've been singing about him. We've called on him in prayer. We've confessed our faith in him, the triune name of God. We've made our vows in his name. With God's help, we said, so help me God. But what's the name he's given us? What's his name? What is God's name? His name is the Lord your God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God. We're not talking about any God in general or every God out there. Some God out there, whoever it might be, we're not talking about that either. We're talking about the Lord. You see that the word Lord is in capital letters. That's Jehovah God. We're talking about the one true God who's given us his name, who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them, and then called Abraham to make a great nation out of him, and through him to send his son, and through his son to gather all the nations. That's the God. Do you know his name, really? Do you know his name? It's the God and Savior of the Bible. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the name he put on you in your baptism. You wear his name. What a gift. He has taken his name and attached it to you. I give my name to you. I identify myself with you. You're my people. I am your God, the Lord your God. When Moses was called by God to lead his people Israel out of Egypt, Moses said to God, "So I go to them and say, 'The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sent me to you.'" And they're going to say, "What's his name?" That's Moses' concern in Exodus 3. What's his name? What should I say? Remember what God said? "Tell them, my name is I Am Who I Am." That's my name. "I Am has sent me to you." Tell them that. Tell them, "I Am has heard your cries and your groaning." Tell them, "I Am is coming to redeem you." And then God added, "That's my name forever. That's the name that I want you to remember. I Am Who I Am." That's the name Lord in capital letters. It's Yahweh in Hebrew. And sometimes we add some vowels and make a Jehovah. And normally in English translators, we just anglicize it and make it Lord. Or not anglicize it, just put in the English word Lord with capital letters. But that stands for I Am Who I Am. He's the mighty God who keeps his promises, and he hears the groaning of his people in Egypt, and he comes down to redeem them. He's going to raise them out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He's going to set them free and bring them into a good land. He's the God who keeps his promises. He's the covenant redeemer. That's the name of God, the Lord, Jehovah, the covenant redeemer. And then later when Israel broke covenant in the wilderness and made a golden calf, God said to Moses, "I'm not walking with you guys anymore. I'm just sending my angel. It's too dangerous. I'm going to destroy you because of your stubbornness." And Moses says, "No. If you don't go with us, don't send us up from here because we'll never arrive." And then God had mercy, heard Moses' prayer and said, "Okay, I'll go with you. I'll go with you." And then Moses wanted confirmation. "Show me your glory." God said, "You can't see my face or you'll die." But he said, "I'll give you my name. I'll give you my name. That's how I'm going to show you my glory. It's in my name." God's name is his glory. So he hid Moses in a cave. And his glory passed by. And as he did so, he put his hand in front of the cave to shield Moses from the consuming fire of God's glory, God's name. And as he walked past, he declared his name, the Lord. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, whose love is for thousands of generations, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, but who by no means clears the guilty, but visits the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. That's his name, the Lord. That's who he is. That's his glory. And if you want to meet this name in the fullest way, it's Jesus. You shall not take the name of Jesus, your God, in vain. It's really about Jesus. You shall give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, track with me here. Jesus comes from the Old Testament, Joshua, which is a short form of Jehoshua, which means Jehovah saves. Jehovah, I am who I am, saves. So Jesus means I am who I am has come to save you. At the great I am who appeared to Moses at the burning bush and rescued Israel from Egypt finally came in his son in the flesh. And Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. And they wanted to kill him because they knew he was identifying himself with Jehovah God, Lord in capital letters. Jesus said, those who honor the Son honor the Father. John says, those who deny the Son deny the Father also. And brothers and sisters, here's the great beauty of this name. God has given his name to you. His Savior name, powerful Savior name. The God who reaches down and redeems you from slavery to sin and Satan. Set your feet high upon a rock. Why would you ever give anybody your name? Why do people hand out their name? People share their name with you because they're inviting you to know them, to trust them, and to call them. Know them, trust them, and call them. Why do you suppose God has given you his name? Because he knows that you need his name, his help, his redemption, his power. You need the I am who I am. And he's saying, here I am. I want you to know me and call on me. And that's what we see secondly. We've been given this great gift. We're called to receive this name, Jesus, in faith. This covenant redeemer. And use his name. Use it. It's his gift. Use it. So now we got to focus on what it means to use the name of God rightly. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That word take. The word take means to take up, pick up, or to lift up. It means to carry. It means to bear. You shall not lift up the name of the Lord in vain. You shall lift up his name to his glory, not to tear his name down. God's calling us to honor his name, not insult it. He wants us to take up his name the right way, not the wrong way. And the option that's not open to us is then not to use his name at all. I'll just leave it be. And maybe some of you are at that spot in your life right now. You're in neutral. I don't blaspheme the name. But I'm not going to take it up either because I've got other interests right now and that's just too potent. And then Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you don't confess me, you're denying me. There's no in between. He's given you your name, his name, in your baptism. Use it. Take it up. That name is life. It's death to those who reject him. He will not hold you guiltless. If you deny the name of Jesus, if you do not repent of that, he will not forgive you. Jesus is the beloved one. He's the acceptable one. He's the worthy one. If you spit on him, that's a sure death. So use the name. That's why God gave his name to you. Let me give you several different ways in which we're called in the Bible to use God's name. Number one, prayer. Brother Chiba DeYoung is speaking about how God has given us his name so we could call on him. Prayer. Use his name to pray. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Do you ever feel like you need a strong tower? Do you ever feel like you're unsafe? You're in great danger? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong name. No other name can save you, no matter how good that person is or how powerful that thing is. But there is a name that's strong enough. Because it's the eternal name, the self-existent name, the I am who I am, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're weak and you need strength, run to God. Call on him for help to carry you through. The struggles of an elder, the struggles of a deacon, the struggles of a pastor, of a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, a friend, a worker. Use the name. He's given you his name. You have access to him. He gives you his name. It means I've given you access to me. Second way to use his name, swearing. We had four brothers who just swore in the service. They swore an oath in God's name, in the name of the Lord. They laid their hand on God's help to make their vows to be faithful elders and deacons. God wants us to use his name to do sincere swearing, not false swearing, but sincere swearing. We read that in Deuteronomy 10. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. The Pharisees were into the business saying, again, the name of God is a little too heavy. So let's swear by the gold on the temple or the offering on the altar, by the hair of your head. And none of those things are firm. None of those things are secure. Only the name of God. So swear only by his name if you need to swear an oath. And so these brothers have called on God's name as witness that they're sincere and truthful about their promises. But they've also called on his name saying, Lord, I can't do this work unless you help me keep my promises. So as they took an oath, they also expressed a prayer, so help me God. And dear brothers, he will give you what you need. Run to him. You're never sufficient for this work. I never am in yourself. You're always running short. You're always too weak and sinful for it. But there is a name who's sufficient for you, the name of God. A third way to use the name of God, worship. God calls us to use his name in reverent worship. The Bible sometimes describes worship as calling on the name of the Lord. It's another way to say worship in the Bible. Calling on the name of the Lord. Listen to Psalm 96. That was our call to worship. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Listen, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. That's what worship is. We're ascribing to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Worship is lifting up the name of God through songs, through opening the scriptures, reading, preaching, and hearing them. Laying hold on the sacraments and their meaning. Confessing his name, confessing our faith in him. We're lifting up his name. Brothers and sisters, how dare you saunter carelessly, thoughtlessly, and casually into the worship of God and advertise thereby that God is quite a big zero in your life and I don't really care about him. He hates that kind of worship. The Bible says that is a stench to him. That's taking his name in vain. Let's rather come with high thoughts of God. Let's come with thanksgiving, with joy, and with a humble heart, confessing our sin. Remember, broken spirit, a contrite heart. That's the sacrifice that's acceptable to him. Let's come with a thirst for him. Oh God, I thirst for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. That's worship that lifts up the name of God. A fourth way to use God's name is confess him in truth before the church. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ and do it with truth and sincerity. It's the highest honor you can give to God. Trust in his Son and declare your faith in him before the church and before the world. Love his Son. Listen to him. As God the Father said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. There's nothing that lifts up the name of God more than honoring his Son. Bow the knee before him and confess that Jesus is Lord to what? The glory of God the Father. And fifthly, confess him not just in church, but in everything you do and say. If you confess Jesus is Lord. If you confess the name of God, only in church when you're singing and praying and opening the Bible. And then you're done with him when you leave this building. And you don't confess him at home. And you don't confess him at work. And you don't confess him in the grocery store. And you don't confess him in the time of disagreement. You're taking his name in vain by hypocrisy, sheer hypocrisy. You lift up his name over here and over here. It's a different life. You don't act like you know his name at all. Oh, you dear Christian, carry his name at all times. How are you wearing it? Are you speaking and living worthy of his name at all times? And that doesn't mean, are you always living a perfect life? But when you sin, you confess that in the name of the Lord. That's also living worthy of the name. Because we do sin, don't we? And a lot. Confess his name in all you do and say. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Are you displaying Christ's holy name faithfully in the way you treat your wife, dear husbands? Wives, submit and respect your husbands as to the Lord. Oh, the Lord's name is on that too. Are you showing your respect for the Lord Jesus in the way you treat your husband? Children, obey your parents in the Lord's name is on that too, in the Lord. Fathers, raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Servants, obey your masters for the Lord's sake. Masters, treat your servants kindly, because you too have a master in heaven. The Lord's name is on absolutely everything. Let the name of the Lord Jesus rule all your relationships, all your words, all your thoughts, and all your work. As Paul says in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Another place, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Same idea. Number six, use his name by suffering for his name. He calls on us to lift up his name by suffering thankfully. I'm thinking of what the apostles said in Acts 5 when they got beaten up and they got put in prison for speaking in the name of Jesus. And when they were set free, they left the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. It just says the name. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. I don't know about you, but I don't suffer very well for the name of Jesus. I just complain. I say, that's not fair. I'm going to bring it to the Human Rights Tribunal. Well, we have that avenue, but before long, I don't think we will anymore. We wouldn't have that defense in the earthly halls of power. But we still have a defender in heaven who says, he who confesses my name before men, like when people are going to hate you for standing up for Jesus, I'm going to confess your name before the Father. Rejoice when God counts you worthy of suffering for the sake of his Son, the name of his Son. Seven, he calls us to honor his name by respecting and honoring the elders and deacons who rule and organize ministry of mercy in the name of Christ. They come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. They're his representatives. You spit on them. You spit on the one who sent them, who appointed them. One more. He calls us to honor his name by showing kindness to the lonely, poor, and needy. We read that in Deuteronomy 10. God executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. He loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. And then he says, now I want you to represent your God well by loving the sojourner, just like you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Our God has a heart for the lonely, the poor, the needy. honor his name, not by neglecting and ignoring the needy, but by being open-handed and open-hearted and open-homed. It's a great way to lift up the name of God. We see one more thing in this commandment. God calls us to praise his name. We value our names because our names represent us, and we're just finite, feeble, and we often fail. How much more should we value the name of the Lord, the Savior, who's self-existent, all-sufficient, sovereign, perfect, and saving? Deuteronomy 10 tells us exactly why we should be so eager to lift up his name, whatever the cost might be, whether the cost is family, friends, freedom, farm, career, or home. Deuteronomy 10, 20 and 21, "You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear, he is your praise." That's why. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. As Christians, we want to see God's name lifted up in praise before the whole world, which is, in a sense, a ninth way to use the word, or to use the name of God. Psalm 113, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. May the name of the Lord be praised. From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised." That's what we want. We want everybody everywhere to praise the name of the Lord. That's our calling. That's the meaning of life. Not to protect and worry about our own names. What people think about me. I spend so much time on me. It's sickening, because that's not a pretty sight. Our calling and the meaning of life is not finally to protect and worry about our names and what people think about us, but to be concerned about the great, the praiseworthy, awesome name of God, because that's where your life is found. That's where your fullness is found. That's where fulfillment, satisfaction, joy, happiness, comfort are found. In the great praiseworthy name of God. He is your praise, verse 21. We don't often talk that way. God is my praise. Huh? What does that mean? It means that because of who he is and all that he's done for you, your whole life gives him praise. He gets all your praise. Your car is not your praise. Your children aren't your praise. Your achievements aren't your praise. Your God is your praise. His achievements are your praise. His greatness, his kingdom, his glory are your praise. That's your life. That's my life. That governs your heart and soul and mind and strength. And that's finally what it means to lift his name on high. To say his praise commands my whole life, all my attention. His praise drives me as I work as elder and deacon and go through all that he sends me through. His praise is the reason I raise my children. His praise is the reason I go to work. He is your praise. And God redeemed us to store us to this kind of life, a life that lifts up his worthy name. And that is why he sent Jesus down to earth. Because God was not our praise. We were profaning his name. He sent his son to stand in the place of the profane, to redeem us from our profanity and blasphemy, to give us new lives that bring praise to him. Do you know what commandment got Jesus killed on the cross? Remember? The third commandment, blasphemy. The Sanhedrin charged him with blasphemy. He's taken the name of God in vain by calling himself the Christ, the Son of God. It It wasn't his blasphemy, it was theirs. But they took their blasphemy and put it on him. That's exactly what God had in mind. And Jesus died for blasphemy. Not his own, but Peter's. That double blasphemy. Denying Jesus as Lord and then using God's name to establish that point. Double blasphemy. And Jesus died for him. To pay for that sin. And to pay for all our blasphemy so we could be forgiven. And he lived a life of perfectly lifting up God's name. Jesus glorified God's name at every point. He said, Father, I've made your name known on the earth. I'll confess your name to my brothers. He never insulted God's name. He never put down God's name in any way. He always lifted up God's name in his thoughts, his speech, his words, his actions. So when you believe in him, not only are you forgiven because he paid for your profanity, but you're perfect before the Lord because he gives you his perfect lifting up of God's name and makes that yours. And it's for Christ's sake and by his Spirit's power that we can go out and lift up the name of God, not in ourselves, but in Christ's name and for his sake, to lift up his name, which is so worthy, so powerful, so holy. I can't think of any greater way to live my life or for you to live yours. Any greater reason to wake up in the morning and go to work than this. Not to take his name in vain, but to lift up his name to his praise and glory. If that drives you, life is good. No matter what it costs you, life is good. Amen.